When you're speaking to a friend who, say, doesn't know anything about your research and then you tell them about it, what's the typical reaction?
What? yeah, great surprise. You know, a little bit of crazy. Why would you do that?
This is Sheila Donnelly.
But when you explain and when you talk about this and you say there actually is nothing else, we may actually be able to find something that works. It makes a lot of sense.
Now, the research that Sheila is doing, when you first hear about it, might sound a bit strange or even make you feel a little squeamish.
I'm sure you're desensitized to it now, having worked in this space, but I am getting a little bit... Ugh.
Yes, when I show pictures of talks, there's always quite, a gasp around the audience.
And that's because Sheila's research involves microscopic parasitic worms. But that's not all. Some of her research looks at purposefully putting these worms into your body. Yep, infecting yourself with a parasitic worm.
Have you done that?
No, but I wouldn't be averse to it.
And why not?
As in why I wouldn't be averse to it? I've read all the literature. I know if you have a low dose of them, the impact to you physiologically would be quite minimal.
You might be thinking, why in your right mind would you want to infect yourself with a parasitic worm? And also, what does this have to do with diabetes? Well, to understand that, we have to go back to the research Sheila was doing before this, which takes us to the long-reaching farmlands of Ireland.
So I'm Irish, you may guess from my accent. So I started my research career in Ireland, where worms are actually a big problem in the agricultural community.
Just over a decade ago, a growing number of farmers from Ireland's countryside noticed their cattle and sheep were becoming infected with helminths, which is just another name for these microscopic parasitic worms. The farmers became concerned as they didn't know what the worms were going to do to their livestock. So Sheila and her research team were there to develop a vaccine that would fight back against the worms.
And during that work, we started to investigate the immune response.
And it was at this time Sheila and her team made an interesting discovery. And this discovery was about the cattle's immune response to the presence of these worms.
And we found some very interesting things happening, which seemed to indicate that the worms were switching the immune response of the host of the cattle and sheep.
The worms were hijacking the immunity of the cattle.
And what does that mean?
So it means the worms are almost dampening the normal protective immune response.
So when you get a cold or a bacterial infection, your body naturally responds by trying to expel that bacteria. So you start sniffing, coughing, you get a chill or a fever. That's your immune response trying to protect you from a nasty bacteria and help you get better. But when you're infected with a parasite, that's a different story. When you have a parasite inside you, in your gut, your normal immune response doesn't work. And that's because the parasite has nestled itself well into your tissue and called your gut its new home.
So the parasite lives in your body for quite a long time.
Sometimes up to 15 years. And after 15 harmonious years together, gut and parasite have become one. And the way your immune response responds to things like a cold or even an autoimmune disease is completely different. Instead, that worm will act as some sort of sentinel gatekeeper and stop foreign bacteria from harming you.
Because your immune response, instead of trying to get rid of the worm, decides to live with it and just repair the tissue damage.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
That the worm is regulating the immune response?
Yeah.
If you have autoimmune disease, a good thing.
Looking at what parasitic worms can do in your gut isn't an idea Sheila and her team pulled out of a hat. For a number of communities in the developing world, they're already living with these worms inside them.
Latin America, Africa, Asia, they're probably the primary carriers of these parasitic worms.
However, in these particular places, these worms are also creating a number of problems.
You know, children are carrying hundreds and hundreds of these worms and being reinfected over and over again. So their cognitive learning is impacted, their growth, nutrition. So they're quite seriously impacted by these parasitic infections.
But the weird thing is when it comes to autoimmune disease, in these particular countries, rates are low, much lower than in the Western world.
Those populations that are infected with helminth or worm parasites seem to have lower incidence of autoimmune disease. So things like type 1 diabetes, multiple sclerosis, things which I'm
less
sure you know.
Examples of that.
Yeah, less. So there's less incidence of that in communities that harbour these worm parasites.
This is what Sheila and her current research team are trying to harness. Figuring out how many worms in your body is a good amount to counter the effects of autoimmune diseases like diabetes.
And not only that, but figure out which molecules and compounds the parasites are forming in your body that's causing your immunity to become heightened.
What are in those molecules?
A lot of proteins, some peptides, which are just smaller proteins. There's a lot of lipids, fats, sugars. So it's a big mix of compounds that the parasite uses to break down tissue, to feed.
And Sheila says it's these molecules that could help form new treatments for diabetes that would mock the effect of the worms.
We would try and identify and isolate that single compound, if there is a single compound, that we could then inject as a typical treatment that you would have in a clinic or a hospital. So either deliver it, you know, by IV injection or by tablet form and so on. So what you're doing is mimicking the effect of the worm without having the live infection.
Right.
That would be the objective.
Now, developing these mock worm treatments doesn't fix the problem. What these treatments would do is stop the immune response that's damaging the tissue. And in the case of type 1 diabetes, stop the natural response destroying the insulin cells. But even if you put an end to that, for those living with type 1 diabetes, that doesn't solve the problem of low insulin levels. It just stops the immune response from self-destructing. And that's why Sheila says these worm tablets or injections would still go alongside other treatments, like an insulin pump. But the next challenge is getting people to stomach the idea of parasitic worms. Mentally and literally.
Well, there's only one clinical trial in Australia at the moment looking at using live worms to treat celiac disease. That's happening up in Queensland. And they typically use a hookworm, which is a human worm, and that's the worm that burrows through your skin. So what the researchers do is collect the larvae stage, which is like the young worm, if you like, very, very small, and place that on a band-aid or plaster, put that on your skin, and the worms simply burrow through, because that's what they do. That's what they've evolved to do. So yeah, but I still find people would be not too compliant, I think, taking on live worms. That's still a step too far, I think, for some people.
Yeah, I think I'd have to ease up to that maybe a little bit too.